This morning we're going to be in Matthew chapter 2. We're going to look at these men that traveled so far. We call them wise men. That's what we understand. But what I want to do this morning, as we read through this passage, we're going to go back and break down some of the things that these men did and discussed and see what we can learn from these wise men. So if you want to read along with me, I'm in Matthew chapter 2, starting in verse 1. It says, "Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and have come to worship him.' When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And they said to him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also.' When they had heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with his mother, with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh." Let's pray. Father God, we just pray right now, Lord, I just pray for me personally and for each one in this place, Lord, as we come to a passage that we are so familiar with, Lord, that you would shine a light on it. Lord, give us what we need to hear today. We know that this is the Christmas season, Lord, and we know everything that you've set before us, but Lord, we want to hear from you today. So we pray that you would speak to us as individuals, speak to us as a church, speak to us as your body, Lord. I just pray, Lord, be glorified in this time. In your name we pray. Amen. Like I said, this is one of those passages that as we get close to Christmas, there are generally certain passages that you're going to hear in the month of December. And I do that sometimes. Sometimes I don't. This week, as I was studying and as I was preparing, one thing stood out to me probably as much as anything, and it was the star. Scholars believe so many different things about this star. Theologians believe so many different things about this star, and when it appeared, and did it stay with them the whole time? Did it travel, and they saw it the whole time, and then it disappeared just a little bit, and then it came back? Doesn't really matter. A lot of theologians want to say, well, you know, it was probably just planets lined up, and that's what it was. Well, no, that's not what my Bible says, and so that's not what it was. They can come up with any excuse they want, but what it was a miracle of God. And so this morning, I want us to look at these men, just some things about these men. We call them, like I said, wise men. But they were probably philosophers, astrologers. Some people even believe that they were some type of a priest in Persia. Some names give them magicians. But they were very intelligent men that studied the stars. And so probably astrologers is one of the best names that we would have for them today. But they studied these stars, and then all of a sudden something comes up that is different. It's a star that they had never seen before. And because of Scripture that they had heard. Now, these were Gentiles in the land of Persia or somewhere around Persia. And so it's not like they were going to be studying the Scripture like people would have been doing in Jerusalem or other places where the Jews were raised with that, they were Gentiles, but they had heard the Hebrew Scriptures, either passed down from when Daniel was his prophecies, or maybe even through Balaam, who was not the most righteous guy, but he prophesied as well that there would be a ruler come out of Judah. And so these men knew there was something else out there. And I want us to get to that point today that we understand what they were doing. Jesus, the Messiah that was to come, was not even a part of their religion. But they saw something out there that caused them to want to go and know more. And then when they took the Scripture that they had learned, they knew that the Scripture said that star or that miracle that they're seeing was pointing to the King of Kings, the King of the Jews. And so they began to load up when they saw that star, and they traveled somewhere between 800 to 900 miles. Not by airplane, not by bus, not by boat, probably by camel. I've never ridden a camel, never even sat on a camel, have no desire to sit on a camel, but it just doesn't look like it would be very comfortable. I would not want to ride a horse for 700, 800, 900 miles, and I would think that would be a little bit more comfortable. But they travel 800 to 900 miles based on Scripture that wasn't even a part of their religion, because they saw this miraculous star in the sky, and they had studied stars, and it was something that they didn't understand, but they knew there was something special. And they travel for close to either somewhere between 1 to 2 years. And we know that because the king, when he talked to them, like it said, he wanted to find out when the child was born, when they first saw the star, and then when Herod goes and he looks and he kills any of the children that were under 2 years old. So they assume that he was probably erring a little on the side of caution. So somewhere under 2 years, that star had showed up. And so they travel for somewhere between a year to 2 years, traveling by camel, putting out the expenses, whatever it cost for food, finding their food along the way, whatever. They traveled that far. And sometimes it's hard for me to get out of bed on Sunday morning. Sometimes it's hard for me to just get motivated to go come sit in an air-conditioned room or a heated room, a lighted room, by driving a car or a pickup to get to church. Sometimes it's just about all we can do. These men traveled that far by camel because of a star. They get there to Jerusalem, and like I said, some scholars believe the star had disappeared, and they come to Jerusalem and they begin asking, where is this one that was born King of the Jews? And the way that word saying is actually defined, it's not they just came into the king's, you know, temple or whatever and said, hey, where's this guy who was born King of the Jews? The way that's stated, the way that's understood, is they went throughout the town. They went throughout Jerusalem saying to anybody and everybody, where is this one who is born King of the Jews? And so they were discussing it with everybody, not just, we'll go straight to the palace. They were discussing it with everybody. And so as they do that, as they begin to ask questions, they get led to the palace. Thought, well, what better place to end up if you're trying to find a king than to go to the king's palace? Because surely he would know. And so they asked the king, where is the one that's born King of the Jews? And this king was, even though he was over Jerusalem, he was a Gentile. He wasn't a Jew himself. He didn't know. He had been placed there basically probably because of money. He had been given that position to rule over for Rome. And so he is this king that knows nothing about the religion of the people that he's governing. And so what does he do? He begins to ask the people that should know, the chief priests and the scribes. That's the people that studied the Scripture, the people that wrote down the Scripture, the people that would be at what we would call church and answer the questions, the difficult questions as they read the Scriptures. They were the ones that would know, and they obviously did, because when he said he inquired of them, they didn't even have to look it up. They quoted Micah 5:2 and said it was in Bethlehem. So these men, they even knew where the Messiah was going to be born. So we've got two groups of people so far. One group that saw this star, that knew there was something special out there, and they were willing to travel 800 to 900 miles by camel to find it. And then we have these religious people that were 6 miles away from Bethlehem. 6 miles away, and they knew the Messiah was supposed to be born there. And I just want to stop and say, I bet they probably knew a year and a half to 2 years ago what had taken place. Because we're not going to read the Scripture, but we could go over into Luke where it talks about the shepherds that were out in the field, and the angel came and brought them in, and they got to see the baby Jesus when he was still in the manger. And as they got to do that, it says they left and made it known widely what they had seen, what they had heard from the angel. And when I think of that, I think that widely probably meant more than 6 miles. We know, if we keep reading Scripture, and it tells us there was a man whose name was Simeon, and he was a devout and just man, and he would spend time at the temple, and the Holy Spirit had told him that he would get to see the consolation of Israel. He would get to see the Messiah before he died. And so a year and a half or so before, when the law said that you would bring your child into the temple within a certain time and present them at the temple, it tells us that Mary and Joseph did that. And that's when Simeon got to see him and got to hold him and bless the Lord because of him. And so people in the temple in Jerusalem would have known. Where were these scribes and chief priests at? They were in the temple. So they would have been in the temple or around the temple when Simeon says, here is the consolation of Israel. Here is the Messiah. And they did nothing about it. They would have been within feet of the Messiah. 20, 30 feet of the Messiah. They knew the Messiah is coming. This wasn't just some guy that just was hanging around and he said, hey, this guy here, he's the Messiah. No, this was a devout and just man in the temple. Everybody knew him. And he's telling them, this is the Messiah. But those chief priests and those scribes went back to life like it was. They went back and they hung out with the king, and they did their job at the temple, and they did all the religious things that they were supposed to do, and they missed the Messiah because they were too busy being religious. Who else knew about it? Well, it says that when Herod the king heard about this star, it says he was troubled, and it said all in Jerusalem with him. And maybe the people of Jerusalem that were troubled, that were worried, that were scared, that were uneasy, was it because of Herod? Or was it because if this is the Messiah, he's going to come back, and in their mind, he was going to set up to be the king at that time. Well, that's going to cause some uneasy waves with Rome. And man, our life as we know it's going to get shook up. Because here's this king, this Messiah that's coming back, and in their mind to set up a kingdom on earth right then. And then you got Rome, and we're caught in the middle. And right now, we may not like Rome, It may not be the best situation for us. There may not be a good outcome in the end. But don't rock the boat with this Jesus stuff. And so, all of Jerusalem was troubled as well. But they find out that just 6 miles away, man, we've been traveling for 800-900 miles and we've got 6 miles to go. We've just got 6 more miles to go until we see this King of the Jews, this one that we've read about in Scripture, this one that people have told us about, this one that has this miraculous star pointing us to Him. He's just 6 miles away. And it tells us that no one went along with the wise men. The scribes, the chief priests, nope. Nobody went. So they travel this extra 6 miles. And as they come out, we know that that star is there again. Maybe it's been there the whole time. But we know that that star began to move now. And it goes that 6 miles to Bethlehem. And it stops over this house. And so as they followed this star for this last 6 miles, as they see it move, and it begins to get to this place and it stops. Man, we've found the end. We've found what we're looking for. We've found the location of this baby that was born. Now, by this time, he's not a baby, and they're not in the manger anymore. They're in a house. But we found the location to where this child is at. They didn't turn around and leave. They went into the house. And they went into the house and they saw the child and Mary. And they didn't stop to say, man, we have traveled so far to see this child. It says they fell down and worshiped Him. They opened up the treasures that they brought and they laid them down before Him. All of that, the star, the knowledge, the location, all pointed to Jesus. Now this morning I want us to take that story, and I've just kind of stretched it out, kind of explained it a little bit more, but I want us to look at that for you and me today. And not for the Christmas part of it, that gets us to this passage, but for the daily life of it is where we need to be. Because they followed the star, but they didn't worship the star. Man, they saw this miracle, and this miracle brought them closer to Jesus. Man, I tell you what, I have been around people, and you've been around people that said, you know, God has performed this miracle, and that is great, and God does that, don't get me wrong. But they begin to worship the miracle. People today want to go to a place where there's some type of miracles going on, and that's not a bad thing, but when you begin to worship the miracle instead of the miracle maker, you're wrong. And that's where a lot of our society is today. We want to see God move, and that's good. But then when He does, all we can focus on is what He did instead of who He is. These men did not worship this star. They didn't worship the miracle. And you and I shouldn't either. It's not about the miracle. It's about Jesus. The miracle was for the point of getting their attention when they're in Persia and saying, there's something out there, and I want to lead you to Him. That's your job. You're a star. Today, of all days, you find out you're a star. But please, some of you don't come sing, okay? But we are stars in the fact that we are to lead people to Jesus. But don't get caught up with the star. We need to make sure that we're leading people to Jesus. The star and the miracles are great things that are signs of God. But if that's all you're focused on, you're missing out. You're wasting your 900-mile trip if all you do is focus on the star. Next, we can learn from these wise men that as they find out, they come and they're looking and they ask the king, and the king asks these wise men, or these chief priests and scribes, and they say, "We've got the knowledge. Let me tell you about where the Messiah is born. Let me tell you about where he is." Man, that's what they've been traveling for this whole time, was to find out where he is. And now we've met these people. Man, they know the scripture. They are wise. They are intellectual, knowledgeable people that know about Jesus. They know about the Messiah. Man, they could have just camped out right there and listened to them talk about Scripture. And listened to them talk about, yeah, he was going to be born in Bethlehem. And all of these prophecies that are fulfilled in the birth of Jesus. Those men probably knew it. But we get caught up in following someone that has the intellectual knowledge. And not that that's a bad thing to have that intellectual knowledge. But if it doesn't lead you on to Jesus. If I have intellectual knowledge and I stay in Jerusalem and never get to Bethlehem, what good has it done me? There were a lot of people at the church in Jerusalem who never made it to Bethlehem because they were content listening to religious people on Sunday. If that's all you got, I'm sorry, because that's not enough. But today we want to worship that big name, or that popular name, or that charismatic personality that knows all these things about the Scripture. That's not enough. These men didn't settle for that, and we shouldn't either. We cannot settle for just knowing the knowledge. We cannot settle for just knowing about Jesus. Because if you do, you may be 6 miles away, but you might as well be 900. We have to know that we take the miracle and we take the knowledge, and that leads us closer to Jesus. Still something else we can learn from these men. When they travel that 6 miles, they get there. We found the location. The star has stopped. This is what we traveled for. There are people today that it's all about their church. It's all about the location. It's all about where we worship God. Location means nothing. You know, in real estate, they always say, and we got real estate people in here, they say, in real estate, the three things that matter is location, location, location. Well, here, that's not what it's about. Because they could have stayed outside. They could have looked in the window. They could have just turned around, went back home, said, "Well, we found the right location." And there are people today that think it's the location that makes their religion important. Let me tell you this. Location will send you straight to hell. We find Jesus, like when Jesus talked to the woman at the well. She's like, "Where are we supposed to worship? Do we worship on this mountain or do we worship in Jerusalem?" And Jesus said, "A time is coming and has now come that the Father seeks those who will worship Him in spirit and in truth." It's not about this building. It's not about, as much as we love it, it's not about these people. It's about Jesus. I don't care how big the mega church is or how small the church is. It comes down to it's between you and Jesus. And if you don't figure that out, then all the miracles, all the knowledge, and the best location will never matter. We have to understand that what these wise men learned, those things are not bad, don't get me wrong. But if they stop us, even outside the house of Jesus' presence, then we lose. Because it's not about the star, it's not about the knowledge, and it's not about the location. It's about that perfect virgin birth of the Son of God. That sinless life He lived, that sacrificial death that He died on the cross for our sins. It's about Him rising from the grave 3 days later to conquer sin and death on our behalf. It's about Him ascending to the throne room of God where He intercedes for you and me because we're still broken and we still mess up. It's about the fact that one of these days that eastern sky is going to split and He's going to come back to take His children home. And when we watched that video earlier and that gentleman was talking about that cemetery, that probably everybody in that cemetery, none of them were in heaven. Man, if that's not an eye-opener, I don't know what would be. So I want to leave you with this. Enjoy the miracles. Know the Scripture. Find a location that you can worship Him because that's what it's all about. One last quote I want to leave you. God is as real to you as your worship is to Him. I'm going to say that again because I don't know if I can say anything any plainer. God is as real to you as your worship is to Him. Elizabeth Barrett Browning, and I can't quote the whole thing, but she talks in a poem about the earth is full of burning bushes, but only the person who sees will take off their shoes. Our world is full of miracles, but until we see God, until we seek Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, we will never see the miracles. And we will never worship Him the way He desires, the way He deserves. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we praise You for this story. We praise You for the love behind it. God, help us to understand how You want to use this to change our life today and every day. Lord, I'll never understand how much You love me. I'll never understand why, but I'll never doubt it. Lord, speak to us. Move in us. Help us to be that star. Help us to be everything You want us to be, to bring glory and honor to You. In Your name we pray. Amen.